Perspectives on Easter, a 1010 Thrive special.
My name is Joseph Caiaphas. I am a highly regarded member of one of the ruling Jewish sects, the Sadducees. Sadducees hold the majority of seats in the Sanhedrin, the Jewish high court over which I have ruled for the 18 years I served as high priest. By dint of marriage to Veronica, I am the son-in-law of Annas, who served as high priest of Jerusalem for 10 years. Perhaps there is no Jewish leader who has wielded more religious or political significance than that old man. Although it has been more than 20 years since he ruled the Sanhedrin, he has retained the title of high priest. And his advice continues to be sought on a variety of matters by both the Jews and Romans. While Annas comes from a powerful and long-standing priestly family, I too have an impressive family background. I was born in Jerusalem, and my father was a priest named Joseph, who also served in the Sanhedrin. I received a thorough education in Jewish law and tradition from both Annas and from Gamaliel, the elder. Last year, I was removed from my position as high priest by the Roman governor, Vitellius. Vitellius traveled to Jerusalem to investigate complaints made against the local procurator, Pontius Pilate. While he was there, he became involved in a dispute between me and my rival Jonathan, another priest and, ironically, my brother-in-law, who was also vying for control of the temple. After hearing evidence from both sides, Vitellius decided to remove me from my position and to replace me with Jonathan. The reasons for this decision are not entirely clear, but it was likely motivated by political considerations. My father-in-law, Annas, had turned against me and wanted his son to replace me. I think the move was made in an attempt to placate the growing number of those who were upset with me for the role that I played in the crucifixion of Jesus. Jesus, how could one man, an unschooled and homeless preacher from the backwaters of Galilee, caused so much trouble? Jesus was often seen in the company of tax collectors, prostitutes, and other societal outcasts. Absolutely inappropriate behavior for someone claiming to be a religious teacher. The scribes, rabbis, and doctors of the law would complain bitterly to me because he challenged their interpretation of the law and the traditional religious practices. At times, he claimed to be the Messiah. Such a claim could have been seen as a threat to Roman authority and could have led to political unrest. Besides all of this, Jesus surely blasphemed by intimating that he was God or the Son of God. He healed on the Sabbath. And he performed signs and wonders like one of those sideshow sorcerers. After, it is alleged that Jesus raised Lazarus, a man from Bethany, from the dead. A delegation of Pharisees and Sadducees met at my place to express their concern that Jesus' growing numbers of followers would incite the anger of the Roman Empire. They were unsure how to proceed until I illuminated them. "You know nothing at all," I chided them. "You do not realize that it is better for you that one man die for the people than that the whole nation perish. Yes, I said that. I wanted Jesus to die. The Torah authorizes the death of one who blasphemes. Why should a whole nation suffer because of the sin of one man? When Jesus was arrested at Passover, he was brought first to Annas. After my father-in-law questioned him, Annas sent Jesus to me as the high priest. It was up to me to rule on Jesus' fate. When Jesus stood before me and the entire Sanhedrin, many witnesses were brought forward, but they frustrated me with their contradictory testimony and their reluctance to tell the truth about the troublemaker. Finally, I stood up and addressed Jesus directly. I charge you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God. Jesus replied just as directly. You have said so. Ah, I had what I was looking for. I tore my robe and cried, blasphemy! With this confession, I pronounced him worthy of death and had him beaten. However, since we Jews cannot legally execute prisoners, I sent Jesus to the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate. While Jesus endured another series of trials that night under Roman jurisdiction, I made sure that things would go our way. Annas thinks that he is the one who convinced Pilate to condemn Jesus. But he thinks way too highly of himself and his influence. When Pilate attempted to release Jesus by giving them a choice between the Nazarene and the convicted felon Barabbas, we are the ones who persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. Pilate acquiesced, and Jesus was sentenced to die, beaten, led outside the city, and crucified. The next day, after the day of preparation, I took a delegation to Pilate and said, Sir, we remember that the impostor said, while he was still alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Therefore, command the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may go and steal him away and tell the people he has been raised from the dead. And the last deception would be worse than the first. Pilate said to us, You have a guard of soldiers. Go make it as secure as you can. So I dispatched a unit to make the tomb secure by sealing the stone. Despite our efforts, on the third day, the stone was rolled away and the tomb was empty. I demanded that the guards be brought before the Sanhedrin, where they were questioned about what happened at the tomb. They told us some inane story of that an angel had appeared and rolled away the stone from the tomb, and that Jesus had risen from the dead. We were angry and threatened the guards with death for allowing the body to be taken. But because we were worried about the guards telling fairy tales about a resurrection, we offered them money to keep their mouths shut. Still, as we had feared, the disciples began claiming that Jesus was alive. Even some in our own Sanhedrin appeared to believe what was being said. I tried to discipline them, but my efforts didn't get very far. Rumors of Jesus' resurrection emboldened his followers to preach to thousands in Jerusalem and beyond. With the help of Roman soldiers, I did my best to suppress the spread of the false doctrine. I presided over the trials of many of these followers, including that of Peter and John, two of Jesus' closest disciples. Still, despite my harsh opposition, this so-called gospel of Jesus continues to spread.